This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Bleck and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
On Thursday, before the NFL draft kicked off, I had a list of needs for the Chicago Bears. I thought cornerback was a need, tight end, wide receiver, offensive line help, safety. I always like defensive front seven individuals, guys that could get after quarterbacks. I would always draft for that just as a principle if I was running a team, just because you could always use more, right? Like, look at the success the 49ers had last year. They had what? Like seven different dudes that they could roll out on the defensive line to go after the quarterback. So we all had needs for the Chicago Bears heading into the draft on Thursday. Let me ask you this. Did the Bears fill the needs? 312-332-3776. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. And also, we're live on Twitch. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago to watch the show. So, Abdallah, if you look at the needs, did the Bears, because they now have all their picks in, the seventh round is still going on in the NFL draft, but the Bears have no more picks. So after taking a look at what they've accomplished, did they fill the needs?
I don't think they filled all of their needs. I think they filled some of their needs. I think Jalen Johnson fills a need for sure. Cole Kmet fills a long-term need for sure. Not necessarily a short-term need, because you gave Jimmy Graham $9 million for some reason before the draft, because people were lining up at Jimmy Graham's door handing him bags of money, and you needed to hand him the biggest bag of money.
You had to be there first.
You had to be there.
You had to.
For some reason.
Couldn't be beat out by Jimmy Graham.
I no guess not. Way. Depth at the defensive end position is always good. Another corner in Kendall Vildor is good. I like that. You needed a speedy wide receiver. He drops a lot of balls. You needed that. I would have liked a more NFL-ready offensive lineman, like a day one starter offensive lineman. These guys seem kind of like projects. I'm looking at Arlington Hamilton's Arlington Hambright,
the seventh round selection from Colorado. Yes,
Arlington Hambright,
the offensive tackle.
He's a JUCO transfer to Oklahoma State, and then he went to Colorado, so he's kind of been all over the place. But from all accounts, he's a decent offensive lineman. I just don't know if he's NFL ready to start right away, and that's kind of what I was hoping for, is a starting offensive lineman, a corner to come in and start right away, and a decent wide receiver or tight end, and I guess, and a quarterback would have been nice.
A quarterback, yeah. I'm with you. Let's go to Joe in Park Ridge. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Great show you guys are doing here. I love listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Nice when Bleck, when you can talk without Cap talking over you. That must be a pleasure for you.
Thank you, Joe. Your point on the Bears, sir.
What I would say is I agree with pretty much almost everything you guys are saying. But I will say I'm not sure which one of you made the point that you wanted a tight end that catches a lot of balls like Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those guys didn't catch a whole bunch of balls in college either. I mean, Ertz did a little bit more than Kelce, but Kelce, I think, caught less than 60 balls in his entire college career. So this guy may be really good, might work out really well for the Bears. I mean, just because a guy doesn't catch a ton of balls in college, maybe the system doesn't work out that great for the tight ends.
Oh, yeah, Joe. No, I'm with you. Thank you for the phone call. Let's look at it this way, right? From this point on, all these individuals who were selected in the entire NFL draft, this is all about development, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are many players in the NFL who are studs, who are Pro Bowl players, who are all pro individuals, and guys who turn into something. Joe's right. Like, it's about the development. Do we trust Matt Nagy and this coaching staff to develop someone like Cole Kmet, to turn him into a monster, a machine like a Travis Kelce? like a Greg Kittle? Is he the type of player in college that you can then transform into one of these top five tight ends in the NFL? If that's the case, this is a home run draft pick. You can't argue it. If he turns out to that,
yeah,
a second-round guy who turns into one of the best tight ends in the league, I'm with Joe. It's about the development. The only thing that I was pointing out with Cole Kmet is that for being so dominant in college, I was surprised to look at last year's game logs and see so many games. He had four where he only had two receptions. Mm-hmm. That's where I got that from. That's it. I wasn't saying that he wasn't good and he didn't produce. I was just kind of surprised when I looked up and down his game log, seeing that like he had many games where he only had two receptions.
He said it himself in the teleconference yesterday, where he was like, some of it was system, some of it was his injuries. You know, he just didn't. They didn't really target him that much. You know, yeah. Ian Book is more of a game managing type quarterback, and maybe he just wasn't targeted that much. But by all accounts, this is a good pick. You know, people on Twitter, people in the Twitch chat that's going right now are saying, be happy they only gave up one 2021 pick. You know, like Ryan Pace had 11 of them to work with. He only gave up one.
He hands out picks like lollipops. We know that.
So I like all of these picks. We mentioned that. Jalen Johnson, good pick. Travis Gibson, good pick. Kendall Vildor, good pick. All these guys are good picks. The problem is you took capital from last year to move into the fifth round. You took capital from the sixth round and moved it into the fifth round to try to get another fifth round pick later in the fifth draft to get that wide receiver. So you still moved things around to try to accomplish what you were trying to accomplish. I thought that it would have been a lot easier for Ryan Pace to try to move back in the second round and still get Cole Kmet. And no one can say that he wasn't going to be there, because it's not like anybody, there was a run on tight ends after the 43rd pick. Nobody took a tight end after the 43rd pick between 43 and 50. So you can't tell me that someone would have. Now, do I know if someone could have traded up to draft Cole Kmet? No, of course I don't know, because no one did. So we don't know if that could have happened. There might have been. Who knows? Pace could have seen ghosts behind him like he did when Trubisky was drafting, okay? But ultimately...
Well, I think John Lynch is fleecing everyone. You get the impression that,
yes,
John Lynch is moving,
yeah,
at a speed that other GMs are not moving at?
Absolutely. He knows exactly what he's doing. My point is that you could have done more with what you had rather than taking draft picks from next year or your sixth round to move up. You could have done more with that 43rd pick, I think, to move back and still come away with what you wanted.
Shout out to our friend Nick Ferdell listening on the ESPN Chicago app.
Hey!
We got your text here listening, Nick. Shout out, my friend. I hope you're enjoying the NFL draft. Let's go to Kurt in Aurora. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
What do you think of the Bears draft?
I'm just frustrated. I couldn't agree with you more that we should have had a dominant outside left tackle to come into the Bears offensive line. That would have helped out Nagy's offense. But the big thing that I just don't understand is you spent $9 million to get Jimmy Graham, then you go out and you get Kmet. Would you have been happier had you gotten J.K. Dobbins? I mean, David Montgomery goes down, you got Tariq Cohen and Ryan Nall as your running backs. The season's over. I mean, couldn't you have gone out and gotten a Mims or something better and then waited for the Kmet pick, or since Pace likes to give away the future, he could have given away picks to come in and get Kmet after picking a true impact player for this offense this year?
No, that's a good question, Kurt. We appreciate your phone call. You know, the one thing that I would always lean on is I would never draft a running back in the first four rounds. That would be a rule.
Ooh,
if I had a rule.
Four?
Yeah, you know why? Because I need those players to be starters for my team for more than 4 years. And I feel like a running back you can find in the fifth, sixth, seventh round, and you can kind of recycle them.
Yeah.
And you can kind of say, okay, I'll use this guy up for two seasons, and then I'll go on to the next. And I get it. Everyone loves the stats of a running back. Time and time again, we are proven that paying a running back is completely pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to you, Carolina Panthers. You have a hell of a player right now, but we'll see what he turns into a few years from now with McCaffrey, and he might be a Hall of Fame level caliber player. But it didn't work out with Todd Gurley. It's probably not going to work out for the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott. And each and every time we find out that paying running backs is kind of pointless. So I would use those sixth-round picks on running backs, seventh-round picks on running backs, and I would build my team as a draft principal, getting those offensive linemen earlier in the draft, get the running back later in the draft because they're kind of individuals on the football squad that you can kind of use and then let them go and then find a new one to use up.
I also would have liked a quarterback because you can never have you can never not look to the future of your quarterback. And I feel like the Bears have two quarterbacks that might not be on this roster next year. Like Tyler Bray might be the only quarterback that's on
certainly
this roster
possible.
Next year. Because the way Trubisky, they're probably not going to pick up his fifth-year option. Schefter reported that today, although everybody's kind of assumed that. But Schefter put his muscle behind it today, saying that they're probably not going to pick up the fifth-year option. And then the way that Nick Foles' contract is structured, if he has a good year, he can opt out of his contract for next year and move onto another team to the highest bidder. So if the Bears are successful, Nick Foles might not be their quarterback moving forward because of the success he does have.
Junior in Washington, I believe he's at Pullman in Washington State. He listens to the station all the time on the ESPN Chicago app.
I was
Junior.
Hoping this would be a better call. Like this would be a happier call than what we're about to get.
I think I know where this is going to go. Junior, you're on ESPN 1000.
I'm dead inside.
No, Junior, no.
Come on. I was waiting. I was like, come on. Take him. Just so you could call us and be happy.
And I had been thinking about it all morning. I'm like, okay, he's dropping. He's going to fall into Ryan Pace's lap. I can't wait to call the guys, tell them I pulled the LeVar ball. I talked it into existence. And, I'm dead inside, guys. At this point, I'm not even mad that we didn't take Anthony Gordon, but just the fact that we didn't take a quarterback at all,
he's still out there. He
understand.
Hasn't been taken, right?
No.
Okay. He hasn't been
taken. So they could still sign him?
And that'll be the saving grace is if somehow, well, not somehow, because apparently he's not going to get picked, but if they pick him up as an undrafted free agent, I mean, I'll be happy, but Dude, this is awful. I don't understand it. Why, if not Anthony Gordon, why not someone else upset Jake Fromm in his little hands? Like, what do you guys think? What is Ryan Pace's problem with taking a quarterback?
I wouldn't.
It's a
have
good
had
question,
the, yeah.
Junior. Thank you for the phone call, and we hope your day gets a little bit brighter.
Undrafted free agents,
you,
Junior. Undrafted
Later,
free
man.
Agents. They're all out there. Just wait.
Well, okay. So the true point here is why won't Ryan Pace address the quarterback position through the draft after selecting Trubisky? Trubisky was the one. He's missed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care whatever you want to do with the take that's and the truthers on the Trubisky deal. He missed, right? Like, we can be done with that. Are we good with that? Are the
it's
truthers,
over.
Are they all over with it?
Yeah.
The Trubisky truthers out there?
Yeah. He's even admitted it by bringing
Pace,
in Foles.
Pace
it's
missed,
done.
Okay?
Yeah.
To me, you get right back at it. You draft a quarterback in this draft. I get it. You have a lot of needs. You don't have a lot of draft capital, but you have to get a quarterback for the future. How do you do that? How do you go into next season like the picture you've painted where there could be a possibility where none of the quarterbacks on your roster are on the roster next season?
I didn't necessarily need them to draft Jalen Hurts in the second round. That's a little bit of much, right, to bring it. Unless you decided you wanted to trade Trubisky, trade him to the Patriots. They didn't even take a quarterback. But my point is that you needed to address it in this draft somewhere. I thought the fifth round might have been primed to take someone. You could have taken, if you traded back into the fifth round twice, why not take a quarterback there? That's where you could still find a quarterback that's available. You maybe could have taken Fromm, even though he's got small hands and I don't like him, but you still could have taken him. At least he's a body who you could say, we're going to try to develop him and see what he can turn into a backup maybe next season. So ultimately, I don't know why they didn't address it. I don't know what they're thinking, because maybe Pace is thinking, I'm not going to be here next year anyway, so whatever, let's just do whatever we can now to win. But you needed to address this position. I'm surprised that Matt Nagy didn't do more to try to get a quarterback this year because of what he sees. Unless he truly believes that Foles is the guy and he'll just like the connection, and if he's good, he'll remain on his contract through next season, after next season, into the 2021 season. But ultimately, you needed to do something. You have to think about the future. The future 2021 draft of quarterbacks is horrible. They're not going to be bad enough to tank for Trevor. Don't come at me with the tank for Trevor.
No,
the Bears are going to win at least seven games. At least seven games.
And they're going to try to win football games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so like there's Miami, not going to be... Miami wasn't even bad enough to tank all the way to number one.
Their defense can wake up winning seven games. They get out of bed winning seven games.
We'll have more football conversation. Jeff Dickerson's going to join us in 5 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. I just want to pass along a little bit of news from Adrian Wojnarowski. Did you see this, Abdallah?
Yep, I haven't seen it.
Beginning May 1 from Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA is allowing teams to open their practice facilities to players in cities and states where local governments have eased the stay-at-home orders, sources tell ESPN. He then goes on to say that they want to make it available to have individual workouts or larger group workouts while still being safe in those NBA markets that are going to lift these stay-at-home orders. Woj then goes on to make clear the NBA's decision on opening practice facilities to players in markets where governments may loosen the stay-at-home orders doesn't mean a resumption of the season is imminent. The NBA is still unsure if and when it can play again, but getting players back into gyms safely is a priority. So just that's the latest from Adrian Wojnarowski in the sports world. We'll talk with Jeff Dickerson recapping the Bears draft next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. You can also watch the show on Twitch. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago here. And the Bears have their complete draft class in, Abdallah. Our initial reactions, we think the players at the top of the board, Kmet, Johnson, they should be starters from the get-go for the Chicago Bears. They should add with the cornerback in Johnson and then Kmet at the tight end position. Two clear needs for the Chicago Bears. The rest of it we'll have to kind of figure out. Three picks in the fifth round earlier today and then two in the seventh, and we'll see what we get.
Do you want like a grade or something? Is that like
you, do you want, have a grade? Like are you the first media personality here in the state of Chicago to give a
grading?
No, because grade I feel like on the draft.
I feel like it's not like a test. I feel like this is a full class, and like you got a B, but you had a D, and then you did a bunch of extra credit to get to it, to get back up to the B. This is like me in chemistry. You're getting a D, and then you do all this chemistry, you do all this extra credit, and you end up with a B. Because like I like what he did, but I don't like how he did it. Like, you didn't have to fail that test. Like, you didn't have to trade a fourth round pick next year to get back into the fifth round.
Let's bring in Jeff Dickerson, ESPN Bears reporter. Follow him on Twitter at DickersonESPN. JD, we take a look at the full class, and do you think Bears fans will be happy with what Ryan Pace did this weekend?
Oh, I would say probably not. I mean, Bears fans are never really happy. You never really know. I mean, we have to do grades. They make us do them. Just like they make us pick games in May when the schedule comes out, or April. And then they actually make us write blurbs about games that haven't happened yet. I mean, these are things that we just have to do. So I always tell people, look, when you read draft grades, when you read schedule predictions, just have some fun with it. It's not life or death, okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you look at what was accomplished, besides the cool names that happened here on day three, Arlington Hambright sounds like he would be like an oil baron, or he would like own a railroad. That's a really great name. We'll talk to him at some point whenever the Bears send a release out. But, I mean, look, they might have had nine tight ends, but they didn't have anyone you felt really great about. So Cole Kmet could be a guy that comes in and helps that group and develops into a really nice player. They had to find a starting cornerback, I thought, because you can get away with filling safety in different manners, but you needed a starting cornerback, and you had to take a guy in the early rounds. So you take Jalen Johnson. Now, you temper that because, as we talked about before, he's had three shoulder surgeries, which might not project to great things health-wise in the NFL, but I think he's a very talented player from what I've seen of him at Utah. But, guys, when you get to the fifth round, you know, you're drafting special teamers who maybe develop. Now, in the fourth round, you know, they've drafted Eddie Jackson. They drafted Tariq Cohn. Nick Kwiatkowski was a fourth rounder. They've also had success in the fifth round. I think what was it, Adrian Amos, a fifth round pick, Jordan Howard. So they've had some guys that have developed there. But for the most part, I mean, you would expect them to make the team because almost all the draft picks of the Bears make the team. You would expect they'll make the team and maybe find a way to contribute, you know, on teams. I mean, with Gibson, it would be hard to say that, okay, he's going to crack the lineup as an outside edge rusher when he got Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. You know, Kendall Vildor has a chance. I mean, but you drafted Jalen Johnson in the second round, so he's automatically begins way ahead of him. And plus, you got some veterans like Kevin Tolliver and Artie Burns also competing. Mooney, the wide receiver out of Tulane, because he runs 4.38, we'll see what he can do. I mean, if he goes out there, guys, this summer and he catches the ball and he makes some big plays or he catches some quick slants and runs 80 yards to the house if there is a preseason or if there's preseason games, well, now maybe you got something. And then for the seventh round, I mean, what are you going to expect here? Now, look, I mean, Charles Leno was a seventh round pick, and that worked out great for the Bears. Javon Wims was a seventh round pick, and he's still on the team, which is a big accomplishment. But mostly or across the board around the league, if you're a seventh round pick, you're not going to really do a whole lot. So the draft is always about the top two rounds. That's how I look at it. Yes, you always have the, you know, the draft diehards that say, well, your roster is really built on day three. Is it really? I mean, the star players are what build rosters. Yeah, you got to have 53 guys, and you want to have some nice backups, and you want to do well on special teams. But, like, teams are built when they draft in the first round. Teams are built, for better or for worse, when they have four consecutive years of picking in the top 10. And the Bears had that. And, you know, I think the results speak for themselves.
You look at teams like the Colts, they draft Jacob Eason after already having two quarterbacks on their roster. Now they have three starting quarterbacks potentially on their roster. You look at the Saints, just traded back into the seventh round to get a quarterback in Mississippi State. Now, he might be really bad, but the point is they're drafting quarterbacks.
Correct.
Why aren't the Bears, for another year after Ryan Pace said they're going to draft a quarterback every single year, why have they not drafted a quarterback?
It's like one of the great mysteries of the world, like one of those National Geographic,
well,
you know. Like,
J.D., I painted this picture. You have a situation next season where Tyler Bray could be the only quarterback. If you don't pick up Trubisky's fifth-year option, which they probably won't do, if Foles plays well, he could opt out of his contract and go to the highest bidder if he wants to. They could have nobody.
Then that you better hope that they're picking Trevor Lawrence at number one.
Oh, man.
You better hope. I mean, really, you better hope that they're picking number one next year. I can't explain the thinking behind quarterback. They just don't feel like, given the other needs and given how they evaluate quarterbacks in their mind, that it lined up to where they would take a guy. But your point is well taken. I mean, look, this right now, I would say it's a much greater likelihood that Mitchell Trubisky is not a Bear in 2021 than it is of him being a Bear in 2021. Nick Foles can opt out if he plays well. Now, look, also, let's keep this in mind, too. If he plays really well, guys, and opts out, I'm sure the Bears would do everything they can to re-sign him and keep him. It might not be a situation where he's looking to leave. It just might be where he wants more money. He wants a better contract. Which is, I mean, gosh, he got that done, so more power to him. So I wouldn't necessarily say that even if he does opt out, if the stars align for the Bears and he has this great year, I wouldn't say for sure that he's going to go. And then Tyler Bray is just he's just an every-year add-on. I wouldn't really you know, put him in the mix of doing much except for being a guy that knows the system that Nagy obviously likes to have around, and he's just kind of there, I guess, helping out. But see, when you don't take a quarterback early, you're not really putting yourself in a situation where if you got to find a number one next year, that guy's going to be the guy. I know what you're saying. You could groom a guy. What if you get lucky, right? I totally get that. But the Colts now have a little juicy quarterback. The Saints certainly have their heir apparent in Taysom Hill already on the roster. So they can do stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, they've had success identifying players at that position. When it boils down to it, and I tell people this, and they hate me for it. They think I'm part of your show as a hater. Bears fans don't like me, and that's totally fine.
We'll take you, JD.
Haters in the building.
I mean, I got nothing else. I got to seek shelter with you guys. But, you know, I mean, the Foles thing was really driven by the head coach because he knows Foles, and his coaches know him. He trusts him. And I think given the circumstances of free agency, that was a decent job for the Bears to get him. But if you want to look at the front office and kind of what they've done since 2015, there's been two really important quarterback decisions that they have had full autonomy to make. And do I have to say it? I mean, everyone knows what it is. It was Glennon and Mitch. So, like, are they seeing things the way that they need to see things in regards to the quarterback position? Some teams, I think I said this to you guys before, some teams do a really good job identifying certain position groups. Other teams just, when it comes to a certain position, they just can't seem to find the right guy. And, you know, tight end for the Bears has been a bit problematic, going back to the Deion Sims signing and then drafting Shaheen. And now you've got 10 guys. So I hope Komet breaks that mold. I hope this turns out to be their best tight end acquisition. But I'd kind of put quarterback in a similar sense with them, that it just really hasn't worked. So if it's not working in the first round, odds are it might be a little more difficult for them to find that gem in the seventh or sixth round. So if they're going to go for it, I would say use this one of the second-round picks, because if not, I don't really see them drafting the right guy later. Does that make sense in a very sad and long-winded type of way?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Thank you, JD. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. That's it. I mean, I've been sprung now.
I mean,
that's
we got
it.
A clock. You know the clock.
You know how clock? It is. This is the hater clock. Hour. There's no clock.
Get boxed in.
I love listening to you guys.
We got rules.
I love listening to you guys in my office as I'm working, searching for the names of these Bears draft picks that are not showing up in the draft guides. Yeah. I like that.
It's something, isn't it?
Here's what they say about Lachavius Simmons. They say nothing about him because he's not in the draft.
And then you go to a different draft guide, and it's like, oh, he's not on their board either.
He's not in there either. Oh.
Multiple picks from Pace. Oh.
Listen, plus, you got to save your energy for Cap on Monday.
Yeah, good luck.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, did I see Cap? I mean, I saw, who was it that said, and here, I love Daniel Jeremiah. I think he's awesome, right? He does. This guy knows his stuff stone cold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's been great on ESPN. He did make the comment, though, that the Bears got two first-round picks last night.
I heard it.
Again, my response would be that doesn't really make sense. If they were first-round picks, they would have been taken in the first round. They were 43 and 50, so... But, of course, you know who latched on that right away.
Of course.
That'll be the first thing tomorrow morning, Black, that he's talking about when he walks in.
No,
well,
I know.
He's the Winklevoss twins. If you would have invented the Facebook, you would have invented the Facebook.
Right, but I mean, like, you can't say that. They got two first-round picks when... They drafted guys at 43 and 50. If they would have been first-round picks, they would have been taken in the top 32.
God, that's so perfect.
Am I making this up? I know that he is like, he couldn't go to sleep last night. He was so pumped up about that tweet.
I know. Thank you, JD.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Later.
That's Jeff Dickerson. Follow him on Twitter at DickersonESPN. And just to update, as we're following along in the seventh round at pick 244.
Oh, the Vikings. Do they need a quarterback? Because they just drafted one.
Yeah, the Minnesota Vikings. So as JD is talking about how the Bears never select a quarterback in the later rounds and to groom a quarterback, or whenever the Vikings select Nate Stanley from Iowa, quarterback, he will be a Viking, and they will see if they can groom him behind Kirk Cousins. More reaction to the NFL draft next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
You know, one thing that I've learned over the last couple of days here in the 2020 NFL draft, smart teams plan for the future. That's my takeaway.
Yeah.
Smart teams plan for the future.
Mm-hmm.
On the board, when you look at the quarterbacks that were selected, the first three on the board, all in the first round, those quarterbacks will probably start at some point next season.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow for the Bengals, Tua Tagovailoa for the Dolphins, Justin Herbert for the Chargers.
I think they're all going to start next season.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
The only one that might not.
Tyrod Taylor's pretty good. Maybe the Chargers ease in Herbert.
Well, I could also say that for Tua. Dan Fitzpatrick, you can.
Yeah, and
you
they're
can,
like, all right, your medicals, let's make sure you're fully healthy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, we're going to be bad anyway. We're not going to be bad. We're not going to be great. So let's just do that anyway. It's fine.
But Burrow, Tua, Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three from this draft class that are going to be thrown into the fire. Right? We hear that all the time. Throw them into the fire. Which, when you think about it, no one's going to survive being thrown into the fire.
I mean, you could survive. It's not going to be great.
If there's a pit of fire and you throw someone in it, no one's coming out.
Like a pit or like a walk across the fire?
I picture like a Indiana Jones Temple of Doom style pit that mm-hmm. you get dropped into.
I picture more of like an Austin Powers Dr. Evil situation where the trap door slides and like the henchmen go in. And then you can't get out of that unless you're Will Ferrell. And
you just hear him from
a very badly burned.
Yeah, that's a good movie quote you just did there. Nice. You got
more? It was in context.
Yeah, but do you have more?
No, it was in context, though. Like, it
could
wasn't
you do
just
more Austin Power quotes?
I mean, I don't. Let's talk football.
Well, you started it. You started doing movie quotes. I'm waiting.
Sorry, that's my favorite one.
Could barely hear it.
Hold on. Tyler producing the show today. Tyler, how old are you?
23.
Have you seen Austin Powers?
No chance.
No.
Oh my god!
Why is that? But, oh my god! That's
no, Austin
so
Powers
obvious.
Is kind
Why
of
would
a fringe thing?
Yeah,
with my generation, I think it'll be a 50-50 split.
I think I saw that in the theater like four times.
To be the elder statesman millennials that we are, it was a big hit.
It was huge.
It was like the thing.
They made two more.
Like when it came out, like that's all people did was run around and quote that movie.
So now I have homework for tomorrow morning?
No, like, we're not those people. No, stop that.
No. The point,
stop that.
The point I'm making is that it almost immediately wasn't funny after it came out because so many people, like the Borat thing. You see Borat in the theater.
Yeah, but Borat's
hysterical.
Funny again. Borat's come full circle. It's funny again.
A month later, when every person, the only thing that comes out of their mouth is doing Borat voices. Immediately, it's no longer funny.
Like, do you know how many times a week I say my wife? Well, it's so funny.
But you can do the accent.
Yeah. It's my people. Happy Ramadan Mubarak to all my people out there. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everybody out there.
What he said.
Yeah.
It's also a very gif-able movie, too.
What, Borat or Austin Powers?
Borat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But like, Austin Powers came out, was funny. And also, what, we were probably in the eighth grade when it came out, so it was probably more... I definitely had to be driven to the theater.
It was
funnier to us because we were immature eighth graders, so we thought it was great.
Yes.
And then everyone starts quoting it, it's like, all right, it's probably not that funny.
Yeah, yeah. This is the Austin Powers 3 of drafts for Ryan Pace.
So back to Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
As the young person here on the staff, the Gen Zer.
The Zoomer.
You don't have to watch it.
Yeah, no, we're not going
to... You're not missing anything.
I don't know.
It kind of sounded like a demand or an order.
No, Tyler, listen, when we were your age and we worked here
when we
because
were,
it's been that long,
yeah, well, yeah,
we were told to watch certain movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because we hadn't seen them.
That was a thing around
You haven't
here.
Seen The Natural? How dare you work at a sports radio station and not see The Natural?
And then I take home the DVD from an individual from the station who then gave that to me as homework.
And then gave it to me as homework.
I'm sitting in my dorm room at Columbia watching it, thinking this is the biggest piece of blank I've ever seen in my life.
Surprised they didn't give you a VHS.
How boring is this movie? They have them. No. Have you been back in the offices? They
you
have
do
the
not have to watch Austin Powers if you choose not to. We're not going to put that on you. I just wanted to know, and as someone who is 23, I wanted to know if that resonated with you at all or not. Okay.
Way over my head.
What's the oldest movie you've seen?
Oh, that's a good question.
But that's a different question than movies that you like, because like I've seen really old movies.
Yeah, like you see old movies just because you see them.
Yeah, but right.
In terms of like the oldest movie I saw in theater?
Here's a better... not to one up your question, but what is the oldest comedy that you think is funny? Because the example is
like, are you a Billy Madison guy?
Like The Natural, we are told.
Okay. Happy Gilmore.
I think we're at like super bad territory.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. You're really young.
You are super young.
Right. Yeah, but Superbad's awesome. So
yeah, Superbad's great.
Still holds up.
But
I've seen it recently. Still holds up. So does the 40-year-old virgin. Still holds up.
40-year-old virgin surprisingly definitely holds up. It's great.
You know what old movie that doesn't hold up?
All of them.
Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Have you seen Caddyshack?
Yes, I've seen Caddyshack.
It's not
long time
funny.
Ago. Yeah, yeah,
not funny,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not.
Like,
funny.
What's going on in that boat scene?
It's all right.
Like, do you know what's going on there?
Assault.
But I just like it's terrible.
Dumb and Dumber.
More thoughts on the draft next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Thank you to Tyler Aki for producing today's show. If you missed any part of the show today, you can download it on the ESPN Chicago app. You also can find Black and Abdallah on iTunes as well. Thank you for watching along with us today on Twitch. Search ESPN 1000 Chicago. We will be back tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. We'll have more draft reaction from what the Bears did today and what they did on day two in the NFL draft. Their full draft class is set, and we'll hear from Ryan Pace tomorrow morning. And then also Abdallah on tomorrow's show, we will have a Bulls backstory as we build up towards The Last Dance. Episodes 3 and 4 tomorrow of The Last Dance. I'm very excited to watch that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be the Dennis Rodman and Phil Jackson episode, so it should be pretty good.
I've been reading reviews from people who have seen all of the episodes, mm-hmm. and the one common theme I've seen is that episodes 1 and 2 are more backstory. And it gets much more explosive from here on out.
Yeah, episodes 1 and 2 are more for people that are like, I've heard of Michael Jordan, but have never seen what he did. So here is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like we'll get back to your thought in a second. Tyler, you were screening some phone calls, but they hung up. What was the thought that they wanted
to
get out?
Were they mad at Ryan Pace?
We had some people that were angry at me.
We had Bears thoughts.
Superbad.
Oh.
Yeah. As they say, it's self-titled.
So they're mad at you
because of your age.
No, they're mad at you because of your age.
Yep.
They're mad at you because your parents met at a certain time, they got married at a certain time, and you were born, and they are mad at the fact at your age.
Do better, parents.
Yeah. Be older. Yeah. Go back in time.
Get it done 40 years earlier. What are you doing?
My bad. Hand up.
All right. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that we didn't upset anyone with our last segment of movie takes, but I just want to... Back to your Bulls thoughts, sir.
No, I think that the first two were very... this is Michael Jordan, this is Scottie Pippen. Yeah. If you don't understand their greatness and what made Michael Jordan Michael Jordan and what made Scottie Pippen Scottie Pippen, this is for non-Chicago, non-NBA, non-Bulls people. And from talking to, like you mentioned, from people that have seen the rest of them, from talking to the director who will again join Waddle and Sylvie on Monday to recap episodes 3 and 4, Jason Hare, has said the same thing. Like, he was most worried about the reception of the first two because of how much backstory there was. Like, NBA people all know this stuff. You know, Bulls fans all know this stuff. Michael Jordan fans all know this stuff. Scottie Pippen fans all know this stuff. But now is when we get into, like, the meat of the season and, like, Phil Jackson and Dennis Rodman and him wanting to go on vacation during the middle of the season and all that kind of stuff.
So we will recap that. We will preview that tomorrow, and then you'll hear on The Last Dance Mondays here on ESPN 1000 on Monday with all the shows starting with Cap and Company into Carmine and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie, and Under the Hood at night. One more thought on the NFL draft. We were talking about the quarterbacks selected at the top of the draft board. Burrow, Tua, Herbert. All of them are going to be in the mix for starting this season right away. Once you get past those first three guys, the premise that I look at is that good teams prepare for the future. Mm-hmm. And then you see the run on quarterbacks go to Jordan Love, to a situation with the Packers where they have a starting quarterback. Jalen Hurts gets drafted in the second round to the Philadelphia Eagles. They have a quarterback in Carson Wentz. Jacob Eason from Washington selected in the fourth round by the Colts, who not only have one quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, but they signed Philip Rivers in this offseason, so they have two. Then we go to the New York Jets. They are the next team on the list to select a quarterback. In the fourth round, they select James Morgan from Florida International. Quarterback. They have a quarterback. They have a young quarterback in Sam Darnold. You go to Jake Fromm, who's selected after Morgan in the fifth round from Georgia. He gets selected by the Buffalo Bills. They have a quarterback, Josh Allen, young quarterback. A quarterback that made the playoffs last year. Smart teams prepare for the future. The three teams at the top of the board, Burrow, Tua, Herbert, to the Chargers, Dolphins, and Bengals, they had to draft a quarterback because they don't have one, they don't have a future, and they're bad football teams. That makes sense. What I think you're starting to see now from teams in the NFL is they understand the worth and the importance of stacking your quarterback room with young, talented players to then use as assets into the future. The Packers, the Eagles, the Colts, the Jets, the Bills. Now, the Jets are the only team out of that group of teams that you would suggest are a bad football team. Mm-hmm. The Bills made the playoffs. The Colts have made the playoffs in the past recently, and they have a good GM in Chris Ballard. The Eagles are a playoff team usually every year. And the Packers went 13-3 with a Hall of Fame quarterback. So when you look at the quarterback position in the NFL, if you're not planning for the future, you are behind. All these teams, once you get past Herbert at 6, are planning for the future. They're not planning to play Love, Hurts, Eason, Morgan, or Fromm this season. That's not the point. That's not what they're doing. The Chicago Bears continue to avoid planning for the future at the quarterback position. Good teams are doing it. The Bears are not. And to me, when you look at the weekend, that to me is a major takeaway, is that once we get past Herbert, the names that went off the board as quarterbacks, they may not be great starters. They may not be the next big thing. They may never see the light of day. Mm-hmm. But they're assets to these teams who are good teams who are trying to develop the most important position in all of football.
I think if you look at these teams that drafted quarterbacks too, Chris, and you say a couple of them have quarterbacks right now, and they may have for this year, but they probably have looked to next year's draft and what the quarterback position looks like next year, and it's a whole lot of nothing besides Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. You know, Kellen Mond from Texas A&M, KJ Costello, from Mississippi State, and then Sam Ellinger from Texas. Like, they're going to be, you're going to hear phone calls about some of these guys. You know, like, you're going to be like, oh, what about Sam Ellinger? He played well last season. Okay, great. But ultimately, a lot of these guys could have come out this year, and they chose not to. Like Trevor Lawrence obviously couldn't, but a couple of these guys could have, and they didn't. And, you know, you look at some of these guys. They've got the third-ranked quarterback right now in Walter Football is Jamie Newman at Georgia. Jamie Newman hasn't played yet for Georgia because Jake Fromm was there. So, like, you look at these guys, and, yeah, they could be first-round picks, but ultimately they're not franchise quarterbacks once you get past the first two picks. And the Bears aren't going to be bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence. They're not going to be tanking for Trevor. That's not going to happen. So they're in a situation, like JD mentioned with us a couple minutes ago, where you're not going to have a quarterback for the future unless Nick Foles doesn't opt out of his contract or wants to stay with Matt Nagy. Or you find another free agent option. And then you're back to this trading for a quarterback, maybe getting a free agent. So Ryan Pace, to me, he's not planning for the future. He's planning to save his job is what he's planning to do.
So there's one pick left in the draft. The Giants have it, and so we will find out whether or not these quarterbacks get selected. But are the Bears then going to sign one of these guys off the street, off free agency, the moment the draft ends with the Giants hearing their pick?
They probably
need
to just
for a body, right? And we're waiting
for it.
Anthony Gordon from Washington State is out there. Steven Montez from Colorado. Brian Lewerke from Michigan State. Tyler Huntley from Utah, and then Shea Patterson from Michigan. To be honest, if the Bears can sign Gordon or Montez, then I would say they're doing the smart thing in planning for the future. Mm-hmm. Those are two individuals that many thought could be fifth, sixth, seventh round guys once we got to the NFL draft. It's not the case. So they're going to be available. Does Ryan Pace make a move in the next 24 hours to solidify and get a young quarterback on the roster? A young quarterback who, you know, Mel Kiper Jr. on ESPN.com had Anthony Gordon as the eighth best quarterback coming into the draft. He had Steven Montez as the 13th best quarterback coming into the draft. Mm-hmm. If you could sign Anthony Gordon, and if he doesn't get selected by the Giants here with the last pick of the draft, I mean, that to me is a no-brainer for Ryan Pace to try and get that done. And I know that there's been talk here in town about a player like Gordon, but like, this is what I'm saying. He doesn't have to be the guy, but you have to plan for the future, and smart teams plan for the future.
Yeah, he might not be your franchise quarterback moving forward, but ultimately, Ryan Pace said he was going to draft a quarterback every year, and right, he hasn't done it since Trubisky. He hasn't drafted a single quarterback since Trubisky. So what are you doing? You're putting all your eggs in the Trubisky basket, and guess what? They're bad eggs.
Well, I mean, not all of the eggs are bad. It's just
that's a really bad egg. And it's not the last pick, Mr. Elephant. The Giants have selected Georgia linebacker Tay Crowder.
Okay, so Gordon is available. Montez available.
Yep.
Hopefully tomorrow morning when Black and Abdallah are back, 8 to 9 a.m. tomorrow morning here on ESPN 1000.
2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Good point. 8 to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Hopefully the Bears have signed a quarterback to plan for the future. We've seen it from many teams, Packers, Eagles, Colts. Hopefully the Bears try and do the same thing as well. Black and Abdallah, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 8.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.